Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the One Show Show, the podcast that attaches itself to TV's The One Show, burrows into it, and then bursts out through its chest. This week, we are live at the London Podcast Festival, and joining me on stage in front of a crowd of genuine One Show fans who didn't read the small print are Mark Haynes, Angela Barnes, and Laura Lex. We went on to a chat, didn't we, with Motsi Mabuse, right? So she was in, because she's written a book, obviously, and she's on Strictly.
Is this the one with the best question ever?
Go on.
What inspired your autobiography?
Amazing. Amazing.
And she still couldn't answer it. I mean, this was what was interesting about this, right? Apart from that, was that so Ronan? You got Ronan Keating, right? Who is you know, parachuted in every now and again to do it. Now he's a regular presenter with Alex, and during this entire interview, Ronan, normally they do it together, right? One starts the interview and they all join in. Ronan did not say a word during this interview, right, to Motsi at all. I mean, nothing, right? He sat there and let Alex do it all. He did not even engage with the thing. And the only conclusion I can draw, right, is that Ronan Keating is racist. Now, there might be a point when this goes out where lawyers get involved.
Yeah.
But I've got proof. So I Googled, is Ronan Keating racist? And, no.
How many pages you got?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying I found definitive evidence, but what I want to do for you is quote from their song, which I didn't previously know they had, the Boys' Own hit, Melting Pot. So.
Are you about to ruin
In their defence, it was a cover.
Yeah, but of Screwdriver.
Take a pinch of white man, wrap it up in black skin, add a touch of blue blood, and a little bitty bit of red Indian boy.
Oi, ay, ay.
Curly black and kinky, oriental sexy. What? I should be singing this, shouldn't I? I'm going to stand up on the key change. What we need is a great big melting pot.
Big enough to take the world and all it's got. Keep it stirring for 100 years or more.
And the next line.
Turning out coffee colour people by the score.
Nice.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I doing? I wish I had never answered that email.
This is what happens when your sister dibs as Backstreet Boys and you have to have Poison.
In a minute, the One Show Show banners fall down. It's just, there's some tasty flags behind.
So, yeah, I'm just saying that Ronan Keating did not talk to her. I'm not saying anything. If anyone's listening that's legal, yeah. I'm just saying.
He barely said anything in the entire interview apart from the links he was reading. He was completely disengaged in the whole...
He didn't say anything.
Shall we move on from racism?
Please.
I mean...
As talk long as about... you're not going to Enid-Blyton.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Jacqueline Wilson, the children's author, has rewritten Enid Blyton's The Faraway Tree. It's already been written. I didn't know you could just go, for my next book, I'm going to rewrite Bravo 2-0 by Andy. It's now Bravo 2-0 by Mark Haynes. There's some sexy bits in it now.
I have taken out the word towel heads, which I believe was prominent within
No, doubled it.
Forward by Rona Keating.
This is a little clip of Jacqueline talking about rewriting that book.
So good.
When they said to you, Jacqueline, we'd like you to rewrite the book, that was a heck of a challenge you took on.
It wasn't going to be a rewritten one. It was going to have my own children and my own magic lands. It's the same, but it's different.
It's not a rewrite then, is it? That's a new book is what you've written. Now, I mean, I don't usually like reboots. I was like, there's no point, but I do think when a book is racist, it's all right to rewrite it, isn't it? I mean, it should be.
But I don't know that the Magic Faraway Tree is the one of the racist ones.
No, I don't think it's racist. I think the problem was it has characters genuinely called Fanny and Dick. Something has to be done.
That's fine. You snowflake.
I have to duck out of the chat at this point because I genuinely found myself in a different part of the house when this was playing. And I have no memory of stopping watching or wandering off. But one minute I was watching and the next minute I was in the kitchen. And then I thought that I should skip back and rewatch this so I can chat about it. And then I can't. There's something my body was saving me from. Yes. So I'm really sorry, but I didn't watch this bit.
Well, I've clipped loads of it because it'll make me laugh. Yeah. So here's Angela talking a little bit more about the problems with the original book.
These days, Enid Blyton is often seen as outdated with accusations of gender stereotyping and even racism.
The way she says that, it has accusations. Enid Blyton's accused even racism. And it seemed to me a little bit like they were going, you can't just say it's racist. Angela was like, I'm not going that far, but there are people who say it's racist. You know?
Yeah, you've got to acknowledge it. Yeah.
Why is Angela here now?
There's absolutely no reason.
Because she's the new Prime Minister.
They're bringing back racist books.
I mean, she's Angela, I'm Angela. I think when they find a reporter, they just work their way down the alphabet. And if someone beginning with A says yes, you're on. Okay.
Which is more or less how we booked you.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the line when she said, I've rewritten it for my own children and my own magic lands. Mm. You know, which is, I think was Prince Andrew's defence.
I mean, they do talk about some of the things in the book that are inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, there's the sort of, the famous bit, of course, is when Dick and Fanny openly celebrate Hitler for his expansionist plans. That had to go. The sign, no blacks, no Irish, no pixies. That was a big
Ronan
one.
Ronan loved it.
Yeah. It's worth saying, at the end of this, Angela Rippon wrapped up by saying, and I hope everybody who reads this finds their own magic faraway tree. It's like, have you lost your marbles? How is that?
The line before that, she says, I hope all the children watching this go into the woods. Don't tell children to go into the woods. It's a really bad idea, Angela.
There is a little bit more because I did love this. The longer this little bit went on, you could see both of them were thinking, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what the thrust of this piece is supposed to be. By the time they end up out in the garden looking at a tree, you know it's slightly gone off the rails.
I think the actual Blyton books that are being published now have been very sensitively, not censored, but there are some things that are inappropriate.
Jacqueline wrote the entirety of her version of the Magic Faraway Tree during lockdown, spending many days writing it in her garden shed.
I've always loved the idea of writers having sheds. Virginia Woolf had a shed. Roald Dahl had a shed.
Joseph Fritzl had a shed.
In my head, or suddenly getting an idea, I keep a notebook in here and a pen, and can just scribble away. What is the story actually about? It's about children who are at the edge of a wood that is called by everyone the Enchanted Wood. They discover this enormous faraway tree. It goes right up to the clouds. And various magical folk live in little houses all the way up the tree.
We're going to mention that.
Jacqueline, you have many wonderful trees. This one is almost the perfect kind of faraway tree that any child could find.
And it's got all these sort of knotty bits.
Yeah.
And you could just imagine it could be a window.
I can feel
and an angry pixie.
Off.
Off you go to the kitchen, Laura.
I don't want to be here.
Firstly, Jacqueline Wilson's garden is the size of Kent. It's massive.
Her shed's bigger than my flat.
She's going, oh, the writers, they all have the sheds, don't they? Virginia Woolf had a shed in which to write. Roald Dahl had a shed in which to be anti-Semitic. It's like, well, and it's not even a shed, is it? That's not a shed. It's where you keep the lawnmower.
Yeah.
That's not a shed.
My favourite bit about that is the two of them standing in front of that tree going, I mean, you could imagine pixies and you just want someone to walk into shot and just go, all right then, back inside. They're coming out, they're probably, yes, there is, yeah. Oh, liquid cosh time.
You know what she said about the naughty bit in the tree? Genuine, the subtitles told me it was a naughty bit in the tree.
Actually, one of them really was. Really You're was. Absolutely right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gender stereotyping and race. Ronan Keating, honestly, laps. His favourite book, by the way, is Five Go on a Racially Motivated Attack.
Lawyers. Yeah. I actually, for the first time in my life, I had a line I was going to say, and I decided not to say it. Isn't that amazing? I'm really proud of myself there. It's
is
all
that
I can think
of
now.
Already said it.
They did have another guest on this. They
Leslie.
Went back to Leslie. And she began telling us about her new film as well, which is, it's. I think they do name the title here, but just in case they don't, it's called Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Well, wasn't that nice? Lovely. Thank you, Angela and Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's book, The Magic Faraway Tree, A New Adventure, is out now. And Leslie, your new film, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. Is there ever been a better film title?
It's good, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Brilliant. It's also based on a book.
Yep.
Now, tell us about Mrs. Harris. What does she do in Paris?
Now, for a start, yes, there have been better film titles. Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
yeah.
The Cook, the Thief, His Wife and Her Lover, Two Girls, One Cup. They are all better titles than Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. I mean, this was the most transparent puff piece ever seen.
This was like a live action replay of the Ian McKellen in Extras bit, like where they asked her, like, but you played another role 5 years ago that was also a woman in a hat. Was that difficult to do both? And it was different things. And you can see the poor woman just sat there like, oh, what I did was when I was in one film, I read the script for that film. And when I was in the other one, I did that film.
The actual sort of plot is about an East End cleaner who wants to buy a Christian Dior dress.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like when there's a film about the making of a bad film, that would be the bad film that's being made. I felt it was, everyone was tittering a bit as well, and the big sort of like joke that everyone had in that was, imagine someone poor aspiring to something beautiful. Again, failed my audition for the one show. Terrible moment. But there's a line that Leslie Manville said, which I properly screamed. I could hear a scream, and I realised it was coming from me. And it was this bit here, where she just talks about the basis of the film.
And the next thing she knows, she's on a plane to Paris. But she honestly thinks she can go to Paris, pick up the dress off the rail and come home. She's got no idea about the whole high couture protocol and all of that. So it's an adventure. It's funny. It's the soothing balm of a film that we need at the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've long said the most soothing balm would be a film, a classic comedy, about people not being aware of the protocols of French. It's like a new Mr. Fucking Bean, isn't it? And I was annoyed because when it came out, I thought, I had no idea about the protocols of ice cream. If I wanted a Christian Dior dress, which let me tell you, I do, I am amazed that I can't just go and buy it. There are protocols.
Yeah.
And these protocols are so well known, John. We know them so well, but they are ripe for parody. a soothing balm.
She also talked about, which I thought was really interesting, because she was talking about, and they said, did you identify with this? And she said, yes, because I have working class bones, she said. Mm. I'm from Brighton. And then you think about it, yeah, your working class bones took you on holiday to Mystique with David Bowie and Princess Margaret and Mick Jagger.
The other thing that Leslie Manville did, which was, and I've got to confess, I'm not really particularly aware of Leslie Manville. She's one of those people who I recognise the name, but I wouldn't have been able to say what she'd done, or I haven't followed her career. But she did a little bit, which is the thing I hate the most, which is where actors are very much keen to make it known that they are better writers than any writer.
Yes.
So I ad-libbed the whole thing. She said there wasn't even any script written. Was there fucking not? So what were all the pages they gave you on day one, right?
This is the best bit. It's when they were like, oh, and she explains what she's ad-libbing. She's like, so I was in it with 3 days it took us to film this fashion shoot, and I was ad-libbing, cool, lammy, lamadam.
She said,
golden
minute. Yeah. Oh, don't worry, I clipped the fuck out.
And because you were sort of familiar with Mrs. Harris, or the type of character, you'd add in your own ad-libs, wouldn't you? A lot into the script.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, people didn't swear so much, I don't think, but they would say Gordon Bennett. And I thought, I'm going to use this. And all the bits when Ada's watching the fashion show, you know, nothing was scripted. So, you know, she's going to go, oh, look at that, you know, and all of the... So I just was ad-libbing like mad, because why wouldn't you? And also...
Why wouldn't you? Because on the basis of that, it will be shit. Oh, 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Gordon Bennett. Yeah. Oh, no.
Mrs. Ooh-er goes to what?
Also, sorry, this idea that working class people from the East End of London don't swear really need to have met my mum. Fuck me, she had the mouth of a docker, my nan.
I'd have preferred to see your nan going to that would be great. You don't need a script, you just film it. They just say any old
brilliant.
Shit.
Where am I going?
I was ad-libbing like mad. Come on.
Absolutely.
And also, because when she asked her about that, because you ad-libbed quite a lot, the only way that Alex Jones knew that she had lived is because she must have told her she did.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah. They did in this show, actually. They threw forward to later on, Leslie will be telling us about what it's like ad-libbing, being shit at it. they'd been through the whole thing. I mean, you knew you were going to have to ad-lib. Yeah. Wouldn't you have thought about it a little bit in advance if you weren't very good at ad-libbing? Terrible.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There was a nice movement move on here, wasn't there? Where now this was really weird, right? And again, I'm not saying this is the most racist one show that's ever been broadcast, but I've got more evidence, right? Because Alex said you may have been questioning why the UK has turned orange, and we're not talking fake tan. The director then cuts to Motsie, right? Fake tan, and she goes, and it just cuts to the black woman, and you go, what are you doing? It's really
Alan,
weird.
Over the past few weeks, people have been questioning why the UK's turned orange. Are we not talking fake tan?
A wide shot would have worked. What are you doing?
Also, I'm really pleased that I cut out before they mentioned Strictly. That is really dishonest.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the joke is obvious.
But then they went on to trees. They weren't talking about Strictly. They were talking about trees.
Yeah, they were.
And fake autumn.
False autumn. This is the thing where there's not been enough rain. So all of the leaves have turned red and fallen off the trees.
But isn't... It is autumn, though.
It is.
Did you go to the kitchen again?
I was so confused in this bit because my senses were there going like, oh no, the world's over, but it's all right because there's all these spare boats, so it doesn't matter. Tides are rising because it turns out there's three boats each if we just go and get them. But they're like, so this isn't from this week, and now I'm here. I'm sorry.
Well, it's only last week, so you are right.
Right, so it's September. What are you talking about? Leave the trees alone.
This was so it's stressed trees. So they had all of these shots, right, of people walking around parks, brown grass, you know, all that stuff, didn't they? We're quite obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Talking about why it's happened and everything else, and they had a couple of people on. But what was really weird about it was this. Laura Layfield.
Well, who's this lady now?
That's Laura Layfield.
There's too many presenters.
I do love that. I see what you've done, though, because the two reporters are called Angela and Laura.
Oh,
there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I know why we got the email.
I emailed them first.
How many of the people watching the one show, though, know that that isn't Alex?
That's a fair point.
It's very hard to see beyond the ventilator.
But what I liked about this, the whole premise was about false autumn and everything losing its colour, right? And she's just trolling with that dress. It's like, what are you doing that for?
I tell you, she is brilliant because she isn't very tall, okay? And the brilliant thing about this...
I will not hear a word about this.
The director of this piece chose to film a bit where she met a much older, much taller man. And it looked like fucking Crime Watch.
I mean, we're gonna need to explain that for listeners. Yeah. I mean, that's
if that was you in the park about 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon, we do need to hear from you. A reminder. He's in his 50s or 60s. He's white hair, wearing a black trousers and black shoes.
Your shirt in, mate. You're
on
the one
show. And D.I. Barnes, I mean, this man isn't necessarily the murderer. He may have been in the park for entirely innocent reasons, but we do need to eliminate him. I did actually, just a quick bit before I go back, Laura, I actually went onto YouTube to find old crime watches to see what they say when they get those. I mean, come on, 14 years old. Poor Amy. And the episode I watched had a bit where a man had been attacked on a canal towpath by a bloke, and he was wearing a hoodie. Yep. And this is from about 1985. And they said, the assailant, we don't have a very good likeness of him. They said, but he did have a dog with him. So what they did was they got the sort of like suspect illustrator, the suspect painter, to do a suspect picture of the dog. This, bear in mind, this is real and went out on BBC One.
I mean,
just amazing.
We're gonna have to put that in the podcast feed for because that is spectacular.
All joking aside, if anyone does recognise that from 1985,
just my uncle's an actor, right, and he was in an episode of Crime Watch. This would have been in the 80s, and it was awful because it was I shouldn't laugh, but it was playing a rapist in a reconstruction place, and it just hadn't occurred to him that he lived near where it happened. So everywhere we went, people were just like phoning the police.
We do need to eliminate that. What was good about this as well, Moxie did speak for a long time about Strictly, and at the time they didn't have any idea that would be cancelled. That would also, yeah. What a waste of everyone's time that turned out to be. Yeah. Do you want to move on to the next show?
I do want to move on to the next show. So this was Alex and Ronan again. He's getting two bites of the one show cherry this week. And this was a really odd show. I mean, like they're all not. So Louis Tomlinson, off of One Direction, was on. And which is odd already because I there was a big thing at the beginning about how many followers he's got. Mm. You know, and they had to sort of say, oh, Louis Tomlinson, he's got 36 million followers. So if the one show's not going to trend tonight, you know, we're doing something wrong. And, yeah. And Ronan Keating was saying this sort of with gritted teeth, wasn't he? And I looked up, Ronan Keating's got 489,000, which is not bad.
Yeah.
But it ain't 36 million,
well,
is it?
Well, I checked Louis Tomlinson's thing, and they kept mentioning his Twitter feed. And I noticed there was a tweet by Matt Allwright that said, Louis, what's his name, is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And Louis Tomlinson did not tweet about this appearance. Clearly, that's what they wanted for those 36 million.
Really did.
So they were like, we are definitely going to, if we don't trend tonight, what are we? Let me tell you, the number one trend by the end of the day, very different from Rottweiler Ronan. So the Queen, King Charles, mourning, grieving, absolutely a disaster for them.
The beginning of this episode.
Right? Yeah, I was about to say, John, this is actually the last episode of the one show that Her Majesty possibly watched. What I mean, you know, dying,
eating her spaghetti hoops out of Tupperware. Yeah. Watching the watch. This is where she went out. This is what killed her.
She was eating the hoops. She watched this for 10 minutes. The fork was in the neck.
So this, the beginning of this program, where I don't know what happened. It's like my first thought was the auto cue had broken.
Yeah.
But actually, I think what happened, Alex Jones had broken. Because she's talking to Louis Tomlinson. Now, within the chat, right, and you said this, Laura, there was so much to talk about because he's an uncle, he's got a new nephew.
Yeah.
He's got a single, he's got a tour.
He's done like the biggest worldwide tour ever. Yeah. And they ask him questions about both of them, and they just go, so you're on your biggest worldwide tour ever? And he goes, yeah, I am. And you've just had personal news, you've a tiny baby, the miracle of life. Right, in a minute, what we're going to be doing. And he's just having no follow up questions.
But she
on
stopped
anything.
Working. She sort of shut down. It was like she looked at the wrong camera. She was looking at the wrong camera, which she never does. She's, you know, she's a professional. But she got the camera wrong, and I think something had gone wrong. Mm. There was no auto cue. So she was trying to fill. But all she could say when he said he'd got a new nephew or whatever, she just went, lovely, 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 lovely.
I mean, we've sat here, the four of us, we've been doing this for a while. We haven't had a moment where we've gone, oh, that was 3 seconds of just silence and all of us looking at the floor. The one show delivered that.
I have to say congratulations, and hopefully you'll get to spend a little bit more time with your nephew because you've become an uncle, haven't you?
Yeah, which is amazing. First time uncle. I went and saw him and me and my sister maybe about, I want to say, 2 weeks ago now. That was lovely. Nice.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely. Okay. We're looking forward, aren't we?
Yes, we are indeed.
Talking about your new music shortly. And Louis, as we said, you've got 36 million Twitter followers, and I think every single one has sent in a question.
Nice.
So, you know, we'll try and get through as many as possible, but there are tons of them.
Yes.
Broken the internet. That's what they've done.
But first, it's Watchdog with Matt, and you kick off to have your drilling down in the dentistry. Is that right?
Yeah. I do. I'm not saying I'm out of touch, right? He's got 36 million followers, yet I would have bet my grandma before he opened his mouth that he was Irish. I just thought, like one of the most famous boys in the country, and I don't think I've ever heard him speak before.
No. He had horrible little eyes, didn't he? like a fraudster.
They looked in one direction.
Oh, no.
But the thing is, though, as a Boyzone fan, watching Ronan, like, interview... it's like there's a point where Ronan's watching and it's like he's holding his own leg back from going and kicking him to death. Yeah. It's really painful to watch someone watch previous them.
So Louis, how many videos have you had out here? None. I had 15. You know? What do you fucking think of that?
There's a bit when they are asking the questions that have been sent in, right? They say, "Oh, we've got 36." They've all said, "Great." There's so many questions to get through. So then, why do they abandon those to ask their own stupid fucking questions?
Louis had to sit through 10 minutes of Matt Allwright explaining what possibly could happen with the energy happened with the
wonderful.
Energy.
Yeah. Oh my
not
God.
Knowing absolutely before it came out.
Yeah. I've never seen a person look so. There was a wide shot of them. So Matt Allwright's banging on. First of all, he bangs on like dentistry.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's something to do with cosmetic dentistry. This is that. So they didn't. Is this the next clip? They didn't give a warning for this on the One Show, right? This is on at 7 o'clock when the Queen is eating her boots. Right? And I recoiled from the screen just watching it, right? And you go, you should have warned us about this.
Yeah, I mean, so should we. I mean, we're at the show. I'm about to screen.
But because we are better than the One Show, I'm warning you now, there is a shot coming up that will make you lose your hoops.
Can I just ask, though, before we show this, I'm not a regular watcher. Is he always in that, like, mad red cage? Like, I was just watching a normal show, and obviously the first episode hadn't had this furious man in a red cage. And then suddenly it's like he's off to one side of the studio, boiled up like a Marvel paddy, just dropping in a bright red padded room. Yeah. It was like, what was happening?
When did the One Show swallow up Watchdog? I missed that.
Yeah. Oh, that happened. And yeah.
Is that just what's going to happen to the BBC? Is it that all the big shows are going to swallow up the smaller shows? Eventually, it'll just be Strictly with everything else in it.
Here we go. This is, this is vintage One Show.
And does
now, we've spoken to some customers who did manage to get an appointment here at the headquarters on Harley Street, but the whole process left a nasty taste in their mouths. Even after they've rinsed.
Right,
Cherry Cross paid just over £1,500 for composite bonding in October 2020.
Spending that amount of money when you're a single mum isn't something you do lightly anyway, but I think it was within a day or two I just felt something in my mouth here, and it was the bonding off one of the teeth had come off.
The repair gets done.
Yes.
What happens next?
My gums started to bleed. While you're brushing your teeth, you've got blood splattered on the bowl. And they just said I needed to brush my teeth or floss them better.
But what was... They underscored it with horror film.
What did you say a bit before that, where they showed all the dental instruments in black and white? Right. If you weren't scared of the dentist before, you will
like
be now.
Like a David Cronenberg film,
it
wasn't it?
So
it was like
dark.
My favourite is Matt Allwright clearly saying to the director, can you just put a shot of me in? So when she says, as a single mum, cut back to me going... So awful.
It was just... as you said, it was textbook.
I mean,
show.
Louis Tomlinson was enjoying it. Okay.
He wants to be anywhere else.
You know, this guy, Louis Tomlinson, isn't one of the most successful boys. 36 million followers.
Looking at and rotten dentistry.
And he's sitting there watching a woman's bleeding teeth.
Oh, my God.
Look at this. He's just like, fuck it.
He is the first pop star I've ever had come on television that turned me into like a 1950s army major, where he was there and I was seething. Sit up straight, you know, brush your hair, you know, start looking excited. You're on television, absolutely furious. The questions they asked him, I wrote down his answers.
Yeah.
Will you be playing guitar on your next tour?
Oh yeah.
Maybe. How's your songwriting changed over the years? Well, maybe I'm older, more maturity in the writing. What's the thing behind your album, which is called Faith in the Future? I just had this weird connection with the phrase. Because, I mean, 36 million people following. This uncharismatic, he needs national service. That's what he needs. He needs to get a haircut and he needs to see action in Korea. So angry. They read out a tweet from someone and the tweet was just, thanks for having him on. Louis, you've saved our lives.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, we'll just read that, no context.
You know? But that's also Ronan couldn't move on quick enough from.
Or was
it Alex? Yeah. They went like, you've saved our lives, and she went, Bob, what's your favourite colour?
If they had all these thousands of questions, why did they pick the shittest ones to ask him? Yeah. And then at the end, like, right at the end of the show, it was really mad when Ronan Keating just goes, are you going to make any more music videos? And he's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
Show, like, that's the end of the show.
That was the end of the show.
Yeah. So
what music videos?
Videos, what?
Yeah, they go to accompany the music. Yeah. I'm like, just check it.
Of course I have. Just check. You haven't made as many as me.
Yeah. are you going to sign more contracts as the years go by? Yeah. I'm going to buy more clothes to wear on stage. Yeah. I think so.
Also, as you guys are aficionados of the show, and we're not, obviously. When at this section, when they've got, like, they were talking to Matt Albright about all the dentistry stuff.
Yeah.
And every time they ask him something, he goes, that's a good question. Has he ever gone, that's a fucking stupid Why are you asking me that, moron?
Well, the weird thing about it, it's so scripted, because they have to sort of, with Watchdog, they have to sort of stray into politics a bit, right? Which the one show absolutely will steer clear of to any degree at all. So what happens is they talk about the cost of living crisis, and he has to talk about that. And once again, I think actually this still is from the cost of living crisis chat. Mm. So you can see how worried Louis is about it. and there's a whole thing where he said, what did he say? He said something like, there's the cost of living crisis and we don't know what's going to happen, and Alex, all she can do because of politics, she just said, well, it would be nice to have a little bit of clarity.
Yeah.
That's as far as they can go.
Yeah, the opening of both shows was things about, so Liz Truss, new Prime Minister, there's a woman called Liz Truss on Twitter. She's got the Liz Truss handle. Yeah. And so she heard from the Prime Minister of Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's carry on.
But that gave rise to what I think was an ad-lib. Yeah. And it was incredible because they cut to this angry dad and he's in the cage and the shot, like, swoops up from the floor to him and he just goes, I'm also from Reading. And the camera just rises up, like, Reading's the next thing, Wilbur. If you're the first time zooming in on this show, that bit was like, oh my God, abolish the BBC. I've been defending it left, right and centre, but no.
Matt was in with his poetry again. Matt loves a rhyming couplet, right? And this is a regular thing that he does, and he absolutely adores it, doesn't he? And this one where he talked about a scam. So he talked about a woman who'd taken a taxi to a bank, right? Told the taxi driver, called Naya, what was going on? She said, I'm going to the bank, so I'm going to swap some money into a different account because this is what I've been asked to do. And the taxi driver, Naya, Matt says, he thinks this is suspicious. So he goes into the bank for her and tells them the story, and it turns out, of course, it's a scam. And Naya was right. I mean, obviously, Naya cleared out her account.
Yeah,
okay. made off with all her money.
You have to take commission.
Yeah, but Matt went, Naya, scam slayer.
Yeah. Prime time, BBC One.
Abolish the BBC.
You were quite obsessed with Jim Moyer / Vic Reeves's birding video.
I really was, yeah. This was an odd one. Now, I know they like wildlife, and what they've done is hit the holy grail here of wildlife films, because we've seen this before on the launching, so many boring shots of birds flying about. Well, yeah, that's going to fill 5 minutes. But this one, they go, no, it's not, because Vic Reeves is involved. Under his other name. So we'll get him and his wife. Now, the thing with I got obsessed with was the fact that his wife, Nancy, right, they set it up like, this is what they do together. It's their couple's hobby. And she clearly couldn't give a fuck about
today,
birds.
We're mainly going to be using our eyes to find the birds. And I've brought along some of my paintings to help clue Nancy in.
Right, well, here's some of the birds
Hopefully we'll see you today. Snipe.
They're in my top five.
Marsh Harrier.
Check out the wingspan.
I'm hoping we see a shorty dog, because take him out in the day. Enough gazing at my paintings.
Yeah.
Let's get out and gaze at the real thing. Binoculars.
Check.
Eyes.
Check.
One good ear.
One good ear. Let's do it.
But I'm too hot. We've overdressed on this
hot
day.
Yeah, I know, but we do look good in this tweed.
We're heading to one of my favourite hides. Over by the reed beds.
Ooh. This looks really good.
It's quite lively, isn't it?
Yeah, really lively.
See that little island?
Yeah.
You see on that? Yes. There's two haversacks.
Oh, I see.
She couldn't give a shit.
That's obviously a hide that Vic Reeves goes to, right? Yeah, she doesn't. I would have loved it if the woman that he usually meets there
turned up. He's spying on.
I mean, I love Jim Boy. I'm a man of a certain age. You know, he was a very, very important influence to me. But as soon as I was watching this, I was thinking, do you know what this is? This is Gone Birding, isn't it? This is the counterpoint to Gone Fishing with Bob Morton. That he probably has tried to get pitch. Off the ground a bit, and it's ended up being 5 minutes on the one show. And they're not going to go, do your Vickisms, you know. He's going to have put loads in, and they're just going to have gone, make sure you've got a shot of them walking into the hide silently, you know. Bird watching may well be fun to do in real life.
No, it's
not. I mean, it seems a stretch. But the problem with bird watching on television is, on television, I can see all the animals. And so to see some, like, black and white birds, I'm a bit like, I've seen fucking polar bears.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, this it's is not going to do
it. It wasn't exactly Frozen Planet 2, was it?
No.
They had this obsession with the short-eared owl, right?
Yes.
Which I'm glad I finally worked out what that was, because the subtitles told me it was a shorty dowel. I don't know what a shorty dowel was. I thought that was some type of... But they
That's
obviously...
when Andy McDowell is your girlfriend.
They'd obviously filmed that bird first.
Yeah.
And then gone, like, now talk
now
about it.
Now dance about the owl.
It
was the moment that I realised that she wasn't interested at all, and this was just him trying to sell it. Exactly. Mm. And go, Nancy will be interested. I mean, she wasn't really dressed for bird. I don't know what you wear for bird watching. Neither of them were wearing, I think. She got big CND earrings on for some reason. And then she just went, oh, snipe, that's in my top five birds. No, it isn't. It's not, is it?
What was nice is we got to the end of that. They had the time for another couple of questions for Louis. So we had those.
Right, yeah.
What do you eat at shows? At 70% of the shows, I eat pasta. Do you have any pre-show superstitions? No. And what's the difference between being in a band like One Direction and now being a solo artist? And he did quite a long, impassioned chat about how he no longer had to split the credit five ways. And that now he's a solo performer, he gets all the credit. What an arrogant, horrible young man.
And that is where we must draw a discreet veil over this week's episode and bid you, dear listener, farewell from our live show at the London Podcast Festival. Big huge thanks to Mark Haynes, Angela Barnes and Laura Lex. As you leave the building at time of recording, do remember that there is a queue outside snaking around London, full of people waiting for days to see a dead lady clutching Pringle tubes full of their own shit. And that is still preferable to watching just 1 minute of the watch. But while you're remembering that, remember this and remember it well when you look at the television to look at the one show. The one show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.